Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Scottish Rugby Podcast in association with the Scottish Rugby Blog. I hope you're all well tonight. I'm Craig Manson, and joining us tonight is the gruesome foursome. I have to say the foursome, threesome. Oh God, I'm not going to. This is all going downhill already.
This has gone so, sticky already.
You know, sticky
already, Johnny. That's an even worse. This is good. It's just getting worse. Johnny McGinty, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, thank you. I'd love to say refreshed from my holiday, but part of my holiday involved watching Glasgow in Europe, so that was far from refreshing.
Oh, was that Glasgow in the Big Cup or the Diddy Cup? Oh, no.
In the Big Cup. Okay, in the Big Cup. I went to see them in the Big Cup, thank you very much.
Yes, you did. More on that later. Ian Hay, lovely to see you. How are you getting on tonight?
I'm all right, although I can't find my vape, which is concerning me. So I've decided to pour a whiskey.
Might get through this in 40 minutes.
I was going to say, no vape, so onto the whiskey, so it's going to be one of those nights again. Excellent.
I've also got some like proper Tory Fanta here.
Excellent. Well, Johnny McGinty, did he get that for you?
I've got bottled water.
No, that's from Marks and Spencer's.
And sporting a Mariners t-shirt tonight instead of rugby, Rory Baldwin, how are you tonight?
Not too bad. I had my Otago top lined up, but then I wore it for a touch on Monday night, so it was in the wash.
In the wash. Well, you know, we always tune in mainly for your fashion and your fashion advice, Rory. So you're a trendsetter. Yep.
It's pretty much always been that way throughout my life.
It seems to be. Well, it's been a busy old week, and we'll move on quickly because we're going to rattle through a few things and talk about Scotland women in the free to air. And then when it's time to move over, we're going to move over to our Patreon side of the podcast. The Scottish Rugby Podcast is brought to you in association with Patreon. And we're also on the Sports Network, am I right in saying, guys?
Sports Social Network.
So if you fancy getting involved and being part of our Patreon club, you know, part of life, part of a group, friends, I don't know what you want to say. You
universe.
Can a universe.
The Scottish Rugby Podcast universe.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, it's like the MCU, but it's the
SRPU.
There we go, yeah. It's going so well. My apologies. You can head to www.patreon.com/Scottish Rugby Podcast. You can pay the amount of, it's about the price of two packets of Jaffa Cakes a month. And that's the £3 to just be a supporter, or you can come in and be a VIP with us as well, pay a little bit extra. And
I love that you don't go beers or coffees, you just know offhand how much two packs of Jaffa Cakes costs.
That sounds like the price of original Tory Jaffa Cakes in like Waitrose.
Yeah, and the scary thing about
it, Lidl Jaffa Cakes, they're cheap.
And yeah, I actually think that the Lidl ones are better. I prefer the Lidl ones, they're more orangey. Am I right to say?
But the chocolate that Lidl and Aldi use on their chocolate biscuits is like wagon wheel chocolate flavoured coating.
But there's just something so right about that, isn't there? For me, anyway. You know, just something so right. Anyway.
They have steel bars. Their version of penguins, seal bars, they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those actually are. Yep.
Yeah, and penguins and seal bars, both consumed by orcas after they've played with them for a while. So it's amazing.
I'm going to continue this derailing for one more second. Has anyone seen, I think it was originally a TikTok video, but I saw it on Instagram because I'm an adult, the guy who hair dryers the chocolate off of a penguin and it's just a bourbon biscuit underneath? I've none of you seen that. Well, he takes a hairdryer to a penguin and melts it off, and it literally has got like bourbon stamped on it. It's just a regular bourbon biscuit.
Yep, ladies and gentlemen, what the teachers of this world nowadays look at in Norwich.
Your hard earned tax dollars.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I spend my lunch break.
So if you want to join us on Patreon, what we do is we tend to go across over into Patreon. We are going to talk more, put some more news, put some more information in, have a longer chat. We also are a little bit looser with the language, and we just try to do, you know, we're hoping to give our Patreon a little bit more every time they come on and listen to us, because there are the odd time when we get a little bit waylaid or a little bit busy with work or illness, and we can't be there every week. So we are looking to make sure that we look after our friends that join us and are part of our club. You also get you get access into our super secret Facebook page as well, where you can, there's some good posts in there actually, and you can take part and be involved in feedback a little bit as well. Please do go online and go to the Scottish Rugby blog as well. There's some fantastic pieces that are written by our friends, and it's well worth having a good look over. And lots of stuff about Edinburgh, Glasgow, Scotland and Scotland women. So we will move on really quickly because I've started doing that's 9 minutes on a mixture of Jaffa Cakes, Johnny's Toriness and us and me trying to do some sort of cobble together some sort of intro for everyone. So
how to strip a penguin naked.
Yeah.
Just write that down for an episode.
You have to take away 3 minutes for the intro. Like
yeah. Yeah.
So it's actually six.
Okay, so it's just six. There we go. Right. So it's going to be one of those nights. We're going to cover more news in the Patreon side of things, but we'll start off with there's a couple of major movements or next season movements happening. Johnny, Adam Hastings, the prodigal son and Scottish rugby Jesus returns.
Yeah, I think I'm quite excited about this. I really genuinely can't decide how I feel about it. But then I saw his little through the legs grubber thing for Gloucester on Friday night, and I was like, yeah, actually, that could be fun. I think it's a position where Glasgow probably could do with bolstering it a little bit. And if he could stay fit, he's a hell of a player. So he's worth a punt, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just keeping him, you know, Ian, keeping him fit is going to be a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, he seems to have missed most of the last, every time he gets called up for Scotland camp, he then has to, you know, go back to Gloucester for rehab. He did manage to play. He played quite a lot when he was first up here, I seem to recall. I've not looked at his stats for Gloucester the last couple of seasons, but obviously he has had long-term injuries. I'm very pleased to see him back. I reckon Tom Jordan's best position is actually 12, just we are a bit log-jammed there. But no, I think he's going to come back a slightly, you know, a more experienced player, all the better for it. He's still at a good age, should be peak years ahead. And of course, welcome back to those wonderful shiny teeth.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely that the through leg, half looking different way, through the legs, different leg kick through for Gloucester at the weekend was kind of like I don't care anymore. I'm going back to Glasgow, is it not? Rory, what does this mean for Ross Thompson?
Good question. I mean, Dunkey Weir has already transitioned into becoming a pundit, as I found out today when I watched the wrong Edinburgh game by accident. And he was actually quite good at that. I'm not going to compare it to his recent performances at 10, but I think Glasgow have needed somebody with a bit of class in the 10 shirt. It's kind of been their missing link. That's why they were also raging when Edinburgh signed Ben Healy. So I think it's the right move for Ross Thompson. Not sure, is he going to be able to get past Healy at Edinburgh if he goes there? If Tom Jordan's going to settle in at 12, is he actually? And I mean, bless Dunkey Weir, but he's coming towards the end of his career, so being Hastings' backup might not be too bad for Rossi if he can, you know. The thing is, the both of them have had, you know, they've not had their injury troubles to seek, and whoever can stay fit will probably start.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on a little bit along the M8. Another Glasgow reject re-signs. Rory, Ali Price is staying for another year or foreseeable future with Edinburgh. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it was never a loan, was it?
Not really, no. No.
As soon as Glasgow were thanking him for his service, you can come back. No, you can't. Edinburgh need it, I guess. At least, I think we talked about it last week when we were talking about Charlie Sheil. They've got Price, they've got Vellacott. Price may become less involved in Scotland's squads as the years go on. So there's it's good solid competition. It's probably what Edinburgh need is people not getting too comfortable in the shirt, so it stops Vellacott from being too comfortable. Even as co-captain, we've seen that he doesn't get guaranteed to start when Price is fit or when Tooney tells him to play Price. And I think the same would probably go for Price. He's not gonna feel that he's just kind of walked in from Glasgow and got this shirt. I think it does maybe make a little bit of a logjam for the progression of guys like Shield, but I think for Edinburgh, it's probably the right decision.
Yeah,
or maybe you just didn't get any offers from anywhere else.
Well, that may be it. Ian, you seem interested in maybe wanting to interject on this one yourself. What are you thinking about Ali Price? Do you think he was going to head away to France? Or?
I thought maybe the lure of the Japanese yen or even Major League Rugby. He may be a bit too young for that. Is he 31? But also Edinburgh, we seem to have forgotten about Scott Steele. So, I don't know, it's maybe he could maybe come along the other way, try and rejuvenate his sort of stalling career again, unlucky with injuries. Glasgow have signed Patrick Schickerling as well, or announced he's going to be moving. So that's hooker cover. Probably the end of Fraser Brown, do you think? I think has he announced his retirement?
I think he has, but also and we'll maybe talk about this further in the Patreon, but there's also talks of other moves of hookers from the West Coast, so it might be an interesting one to talk about further down the line. But there are another couple of bits of news, especially two fairly major injuries to talk about. But we'll move that. We'll be talking about that in the Patreon. So again, another wee plug to anyone who's interested in listening to us ramble on and talk about news and Edinburgh and Glasgow. That will be in the Patreon part of the podcast. And if you can afford it and you want to come and join us, as I say, the price of one singular Empire biscuit a month will get you into the Patreon.
Where are you paying £3 for an Empire biscuit?
Not now.
At your Tory coffee shop that you keep taking me to.
Sneaky extras are you getting with your Empire biscuit for £3?
Sounds like a money laundering.
Someone has seen you coming. If you're paying
£3 for an Empire biscuit. So the weekend, Scotland women 0, England women 46. A sold-out Hive welcomed England up. We'll start with you, Johnny. We expected a little bit more from Scotland against with a full house at home, or are we just kidding ourselves?
No, I think we did expect more. I think after the first two performances, it was a little bit disappointing. I think we need to be clear about the fact that it wasn't a game that we were going to win. I think, and I actually think with the Hive being sold out, that was really encouraging, because to sell out a game that you almost know for sure you're going to lose is a fairly impressive prospect, I think. You know, it's not the same as selling it out for a bit of a procession. That's a genuine support for the team rather than going along because you want to see them spank somebody. So on the one hand, I thought that was really good. Very impressed with the people who managed to get out, and like also a bit annoyed because I kind of hummed and hawed because I was thinking about taking the kids, and then at the end I couldn't get tickets. So I was a bit frustrated, but also pretty pleased. At the same time though, that was not the same level of Scotland performance as we've had in the first two rounds. I think a lot of the sort of patience and clinical edge that we had, especially defending against France, sort of seemed to evaporate a little bit. And whether that was in the face of, you know, we're talking about a team that was just a year or two ago talked about as being the most dominant team of any form in any sport in the Red Roses. And you can't take away from the fact that that's a really, really, really difficult team to play against. And how much of it was that Scotland kind of fell apart a little bit and weren't up to their own standards, and how much of it was how difficult it is to play against the Red Roses, I'm not sure, but there was a very obvious drop in the quality of some of the things we were doing compared to the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, it seemed to be, it didn't seem to be the new Scotland that we expected. Ian, you were there, am I right in saying? How was the high for you? How was the atmosphere? And what, where do you think, or how do you think Scotland went wrong or lost their sort of mojo against England?
Well, I was there. I managed to stay dry. Although, as anyone who saw it, as soon as the anthems hit, it was just a downpour and the wind was battering. I was sat right up the back row, so the canvas covers were slapping off the metal stands. Yeah, it was awful conditions. And although, you know, in football, for example, like awful conditions would see a sort of a leveller between teams. I think it actually made it harder for Scotland because England have, I mean, they've got the all-court game, but they have a much better forward game than us. So it just allowed them, you know, they upped the jumper, especially they were against the wind in the first half. And it was just the speed with which they recycled the ball, got over the gain line practically every time. You know, getting that, moving so quickly, it's making Scotland players tired. They're having to turn on slippy, wet turf. Yeah, it was clinical for England. They played, you know, we knew they were going to win, but I think with the better conditions, I think Scotland might have had made more of an attacking threat. But yeah, because we never looked like scoring, really. Obviously, there was massive line-out woes. Losing Emma Wassell just before the game. I think it was at 7 line-outs we lost in the end. And we've scored a lot of line-outs of late. You know, if you can't secure the ball, you can't play with the ball. We just, you know, never fired a shot. And England were just far too strong in all departments.
Yeah,
they kicked much smarter and better.
Sorry? They kicked smarter and better?
Yeah, especially in attacking. You know, I think there's a good couple of occasions down breach managed to, you know, kick along the ground. Again, wet turf, wet astroturf, it's going to skip on. Yeah, Scotland's exit strategy, you know, without Thompson, who's got the biggest boot in the team, exit strategy, even if the wind just played in England's hands, just couldn't get out of her own half.
Yeah,
against the best team that's possibly ever played rugby.
Oh, very. And we'll maybe talk about that in a minute. But Rory, defence seemed to be poor. Set line out, set piece, etc. We just didn't seem to get into the game. Is there something we can, you know, is there a positive we can take from this game?
I can find you some positives. I look at, I won't take the credit for this, but looking at Eleanor's piece of her talking points from the game, it's, I guess, more individuals like Evie Gallagher, Ileanne Clark. You know, there were kind of good performances here and there, but it was the conditions were nuts. I mean, the line out was bad, but it's a bit harsh when you throw the ball straight and then the wind takes it and then you get done for a squint throw. You know, there's not much you can do about that. So not having that platform much like, you know, if Glasgow were robbed of the line out, Johnny Matthews wouldn't be able to score any tries. It's the same sort of thing. Scotland rely on their maul, which is generally quite good. And I think, I mean, it will have been a fairly gloomy dressing room, but as Johnny says, it's not a game we were expecting to win. I think though they probably would have expected to not win, but also have some sort of some positives to take out of it. There's not that many, there aren't that many positives. Other than the fact that they did this, they sort of have been here in the tournament before. Last year, the game against Italy was the one where they got their winning streak started. So it's kind of, you know, you've got to hope they put it in behind them quite quickly and build on it. The other thing that Eleanor was talking about was the weather. The wind was actually changing. So in the first half, when Scotland had the wind, it was gusting and it was kind of inconsistent. And then when the wind was against us, it was just kind of consistency in the same direction, or, you know, more consistent, which does beg the question why the approach didn't change. I mean, they brought Lisa Thompson on in the second half for her, presumably for her big boot. Meryl Smith hadn't been that great at 12. And I think that's why they brought Lisa on at halftime. But I don't know if they, you know, they could have maybe used her a bit more as a kind of crash ball centre than as a clearance kicker, because the clearance kicking was not working or the touch finding in that wind. And it's purely down to the wind. But the number of times that they went to clear or to go for touch and the wind kept the ball in, you've got to ask why after once or twice, why the approach didn't change.
And yeah,
where the messaging is coming from to say, next time you get a penalty, tap and run it or something. I mean, I get it's hard. England are great defence. They weren't making that much, but it's better than giving the ball away straight away.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question to Ian. Was you know, we try to make this difference between the Scotland women and Scotland men in every way. They try, now we're having separate Six Nations, which is fantastic for the game, but. Are you worried a little bit that Scotland women are falling into the same traps that Scotland men are falling into of poor set piece when it comes to bad weather, not being able to adapt the line out if things are going wrong, kicking the ball away far too much when they have it, when they're, you know, especially when it's greasy and the ball, you know, passing is difficult with wind, etc. What's your thoughts here?
Well, I think, you know, the men should be more adept at changing their game plan because they've been professional for so much longer and they've got people like Finn Russell on the pitch, so they should be smart enough to adapt. Unfortunately, they're not, as we know. Are the women falling into the same trap? Possibly not, but I mean, again, with Scotland, it's execution under pressure is where we seem to falter. I'm not sure if it's always the wrong tactic. But there was one. There's one kick that Thompson tried to put to the touchline that was like centre field. You're like, no, that's never going to work. not even on a nice day. Like Rory said, you know, if you're going to keep repeating the same mistakes, it seems to be a very Scottish trait. I don't know. It's up to the leaders on the pitch to try and iron that out. Who should be doing that? Yeah. Well, do you think Rachel Malcolm's such a good speaker and she's such a clearly intelligent person, you think she would, you know, tell people to maybe keep cool heads? But I think really, to be honest, it's more of a execution under pressure issue.
And so, Johnny, are we at a situation now then with England? You know, you, especially the English media, English players using words of thrashed and smashed all these different teams that they're coming up against. Are we in a situation where it's almost like F1, where Max Verstappen is miles away and there's a fight for second place, and that's where the real fun is and the real rugby, you know, the real competition is. Is this the way the Six Nations and UK women's rugby is going at this moment in time? Because are we that far away from England?
It's certainly where it is. I don't think there's really any debate about that. I hope it's not where it's going. I think other countries have kind of woken up now to what's happened. I think we, amongst others, would say that most of our countries have woken up a bit too late to that. There are some good things coming through. Like, obviously, we had the announcement this week that the Lions have taken it upon themselves to try and level the playing field a little bit. And they've made £3 million available to the home unions to try and make sure that when the Women's Lions Tour happens, that it's a little bit more fairly represented and it's not just England. They are streets ahead. But I think the good thing in a way is that there will be a plateau for them. They can only go so far. They're already a fully professional outfit. They are way, way further ahead than anybody else. But I don't think they've got anywhere left to go, England. I think that once the other nations start to invest a little bit more in fully professional contracts, in a more professional setup, in more coaching, more support, that England can't stay that far ahead forever because they don't have another place to go to. They've got all that stuff already and there's nothing else that they can buy. So they cannot continue by being the best set up, best funded, most professional union to just be ahead because of that. I think that other countries have got to catch up at some point soon. At the moment, it's clearly a fight for second. France are the only ones who have any sort of chance of beating England. And even them, for some reason outside of World Cups, they don't seem to be the same caliber of team. That will, I'm so hopeful that will change soon. And not because of anything necessarily that England are going to do or anything necessarily that other people are going to do. But once we catch up, I think we start to catch up quicker than we are at the moment.
Yeah. And Ian, you know, looking at, for example, other countries like Wales, etc., it's not just a matter of giving a certain amount of players a contract. There needs to be continual investment. Where do you see Scotland going to get themselves closer to England?
They'll need to start. Well, I mean, most of the players are on professional contracts with English clubs, but you know, Scotland had already started. I can't remember what the title of the initiative was, but obviously, you know, they're paying the players. But we need to set up like a sort of academy, a Fuzz Rock Academy sort of centre of excellence kind of idea. I think ideally there should be, I mean, we've had the Celtic Cup. Ideally, there should be a pro Scottish team, like a Jaguares kind of idea. But then where do we, you know, can we get them into the England Women's Premiership? Or can we set up a Celtic one, that kind of idea? That's where the players need to get access to top quality coaching and facilities. That's how you get better. And then also competition. You know, there's no point just playing a handful of games a year at the top level and the rest of the time you're just sort of training, really.
Yeah. So moving away from a fairly disappointing weekend, even though, as you say, Johnny, it was pretty much inevitable that we were going to lose the game. Italy is this weekend. There's four changes. Brian Easton has brought four changes into the squad. Lisa Thompson comes in to start. She didn't start last weekend because she was just back from the Hong Kong Sevens. Fran McGee comes in. Molly Wright and Eva Donaldson come in as well. What's your thoughts for Italy? What's your hopes and fears?
I think that's kind of non-negotiable. Italy is a tricky game. Historically, has been. It's an away game. It's in Stadio Lanfranchi in Parma, which is becoming a more difficult place to go. The under-20s have been there. Obviously, Zebra, while they're still not a force, it is a much more difficult away trip at the URC than it used to be. It's an area that they're very keen on their rugby. I think it'll be another fairly decent crowd. But I think Scotland have got firepower coming back, especially having Fran McGee on from the start. I think they need to kind of steady the ship a little bit and show a lot more of what we showed in this first two rounds. And I think England this weekend was one of those where Lanniskelder and Ellis Martin are two really good hookers. They're not going to have a day like that again. They're not going to lose seven lineouts. The weather's likely to be better. I think that England game is just one where you say, we'll put that away now. It's done. It's finished. It was a lot of things that probably aren't going to be repeated, and let's get back to the team that we've seen the first two rounds and get another win in.
Yeah. And Rory, Rona Lloyd gets a 50th cap this weekend. A player that's been a stalwart of Scotland women for the last few years. Surely if there'd been more fixtures, she would be getting closer to a century, yeah?
Oh, you'd think so. There's probably a few that you could say that about. It's just good that they're getting the fixtures now. They're starting to get the recognition. I think as Johnny says, they're going to want to put on a big performance, a big step up. They haven't won yet. I mentioned earlier that they beat Italy last year, but they haven't won in Italy since, like, I think 1999, something like that, you know. So it's not a small challenge, but it's one that I think they'll relish, because as Johnny said, well, no one was really expecting them to beat England. We weren't quite expecting it to be the business as usual 50-point drubbing sort of thing. You know, we were kind of hoping it might be a bit closer. They might fire some shots. Brian Easton said it after the game last week that they didn't feel that they'd fired any shots in that game. I think, yeah, as long as the conditions hold out, I think I would like it to just actually be decided by the rugby rather than the weather. And I think, yeah, it should be good. Great to see Fran McGee back in. When I was typing the teams up earlier, there are three Francescas, three Beatrices, and three somebody else's. There's a lot of Italians, I'm going to suggest, don't have much variation in their naming of their daughters. So we should beat them for that reason, apart from, obviously, Francesca McGee, who is ours. Yeah, I think it should be closer. You can see the core of the squad is pretty much where it is. You know, he's shuffling ladies. He's shuffling them from the starting team to the bench, but not really shuffling them out of the squad. So his 23, Brian Easton's 23 is pretty fixed. And I think that's good, that continuity. So it is almost, he's like, he's not dropping them out through injury or anything. There have been a few, obviously. But I think he's saying, right, well, you didn't do quite well enough last week, so you're going onto the bench now and someone else is coming in ahead of you. And I think that's going to keep them hungry for it. Merrill Smith and Corinne Grant are still relatively young in terms of inexperience in terms of caps. So they're going to get plenty more chances. And I think they'll be a good combination off the bench. They've both got a fair bit of pace, good skills. So as long as the conditions are dry, I think it should be a good game, hopefully. And Scotland will be targeting third in the tournament. They've said that from the start. Ireland will also be targeting. So although we didn't quite get our little Grand Slam decider at the end of the men's Six Nations, and it's not going to be a Grand Slam decider. It might be, there might be something on the line in the final weekend, which would be nice if they can. But they've got to start it with they've got to get the win in Italy first.
So it's almost a triple crown, Rory.
Yeah, it's kind of like a sort of, I guess a third. Well, I mean, yeah, third place doesn't seem like much to celebrate, but actually,
URC crown.
Yeah, but you would get. You get World Cup qualification out of it, so.
Well, that's the thing. I guess that's what we're pushing for as well.
And yeah, major.
Yeah, it's a major thing, isn't it, Rory?
If they can get that, then they can go to the WXV I think they'll probably get into WXV, the top level. But if they've already qualified for the World Cup, the pressure's kind of off a bit and they can develop it. You know, that's what the Lions grant and stuff is about. It's making sure that the new players keep coming through, that there's a flow of good young new players, because that's what the Lions is going to need going forward.
Yeah, and Ian, you know, looking at, although they've had a bit of a, they've either had a bit of a boost or Wales were particularly poor, but surely we're going to beat Ireland after Italy. I said that tongue in cheek, and I was being
I'm not as confident about beating Italy as the rest of you. We were miles behind Italy a few years ago, you know. I remember even as little as 5 years ago, but we've the last couple of times I think we've won a couple on the bounce, and also we hadn't won in Cardiff for how long, so it's time to break the 25-year duck. I think we can, but it's going to be incredibly tight. Like we said, hopefully the weather's going to be better. We say we can because it can't be much worse than what it was on Saturday. We can actually. We've not been very creative in attack so far, I don't feel. I'd like to see a bit more Zaz.
Yeah,
that's
well, you know. We've got a little bit of Matt Banahan coming in there, you know. He's, you know, are we going to get? Is that the pizzazz we're looking for? Ian?
Famous pizzazz merchant. Matt Banahan.
The famous pass me the ball or I'll fall over the line. Matt Banahan pizzazz. So we're going to finish up fairly soon and move over to Patreon, where we'll go into a little bit more. Depth with the news and with injuries and also with the Edinburgh and Glasgow games coming up and also obviously issues that we had at the weekend with Edinburgh as well. The last question I have is predictions. Are we, you know, Ian, you were a bit worried that we're going to get, you know, about that we seem to be proclaiming a win against Italy. We'll start with you. Are we winning this weekend?
I see a devastating, 4-point loss. A couple of missed kicks will do for us. And a squint line out. A narrow loss. Yes.
Okay. Johnny?
I think a narrow win. I think something in the region of 17-14. I don't think it's going to be a massively open game, but I think that the squad that Scotland have got is the best it's been in some time, and like Rory says, the most settled it's been in some time. And actually, we remarked after the Wales game how much better the kicking has got with Helen Nelson. So I don't think we have that worry that we did even a year ago. So a tight win, but a win for Scotland, I think.
Right, and Rory, what's your thoughts at the end?
Yeah, I'm with Johnny. I don't think it's going to be sort of huge amounts of bonus points and things, but I can see Scotland winning it. I think taking over the view of the last 5 years, the